Happy Earth Month, everybody. Now, I know every year we write down our different goals that we want to accomplish for yourself, people around you, manifest it. And maybe one of our goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. You value companies that are thoughtful in every aspect of how they run their business. Good news, Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Fresh air, frisbees, picnics, super cute dogs on leashes. I mean, that's my dream. Soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. Check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Again, donate in-store or online and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
So the other day, Zach and I had some friends over. The weather is getting cooler. We grilled out. We sat outside. It was so lovely. And we used our favorite brand, Chinette. That's right. We love this brand so much. It makes entertaining so easy. They have a bunch of different collections that we love. The Chinette Classic is so durable for those messy ribs, no bends or leaks, microwave safe, made with at least 80% recycled materials, which we love, made in the USA. They have the Chinette Crystal, which is so elegant looking, but it's also like no shatter and guests aren't too afraid to touch it. Unique swirl design, which is very pretty. The Chinette Comfort, built-in sleeve that keeps drinks hot and hands happy. Snap-on lid, 12-ounce or 16-ounce for whatever size you need. Made in the USA. I love these for when I'm on the go and I want to put my coffee in and I need to get in the car. I just love it so much. We love that they're environmentally conscious. We love the brand is easy cleanup. It's just perfect for all of life's get-togethers. Great for holiday gatherings. Those are coming up, so stock up now. And made with at least 80% recycled materials. We love it so much. And visit mychinette.com to find out more. Mychinette.com. Find out more. Welcome to the Lady Gang. You're about to listen to our podcast, but there is so much more our community has to offer. Follow us at the Lady Gang, join our secret Facebook group, shop our clothing line, books, and find out when we're going to be in your city at theladygang.com. We're so excited you're here. Enjoy the show.
It's time for a quickie.
Podcast One presents The Lady Gang, the Hollywood girl posse with Lady Gang Quickie. Here's Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Let's make this quick.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang Quickie. We are here today with a very special guest. We've been trying to get her in for many months, but she's the busiest woman on podcasting, except for us. And we're very excited to have her. Kelty, take it away.
Our guest today is a writer, journalist, and hosts a very interesting podcast on Audible that you all need to listen to, that the whole world needs to listen to at this point, called Say You're Sorry. And this podcast got us thinking about apologies, why they're generally bad, why they're still important, what we need to know about them. She is the author of Faking It, The Lies Women Tell About Sex and the Truth They Reveal, and of course, the podcast Say You're Sorry. So please welcome to the Lady Gang for this little quickie on how to say you're sorry, Lux Optram.
Hi, I love the Canadian in your voice, by the way.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Lux is here, yeah.
Sorry. Like, sorry. How appropriate that a Canadian is introducing you right now.
And that she was 5 minutes late for the podcast because her Wi-Fi isn't working. And then she's like, sorry. And I was like, this is very fitting. It's a really thing. So I love this because actually I wanted to start this episode by playing the first minute of the Say You're Sorry trailer to our listeners. So just beep, beep, beep.
It seems like every day there's a new apology in the news.
Tonight on Capitol Hill, no sign of Al Franken. Today, he apologized.
Academy Award-winning actor Morgan Freeman has apologized.
DeGeneres apologizing to more than 200 staffers in a video conference call, according to Variety.
And a lot of us like to gawk at these often really bad apologies. I mean, it's kind of fun.
But it's also weird to constantly see adults struggle to do something we teach to kindergartners.
It seems like apologies aren't actually as easy as we think.
I'm Lux Optram.
And I'm Siona Petros.
And we've gotten obsessed with apologies.
Like, deeply obsessed.
And we want to take you on a journey through some of the public apologies we can't stop thinking about.
The United States of America offers a sincere apology.
I know I've let y'all down because I let myself down.
I got an anonymous letter. Can you help us?
I saw this notification where it was like, Ariana Grande has sent you a message. And I was like, am I high?
Oh my God, it was serendipity.
It's like a schoolyard fight breaking out.
Everybody was sued.
And my dad came into my room and he said, Lacey, they're going to ruin you.
I'm sorry, it might just be two words. But once you start digging, you realize that there is so much going on underneath the surface.
Okay, so this is a global, I mean, everyone is having to apologize, whether it's cancel culture or whether we're just sorry to our moms or our friends, and everyone's doing a fucking terrible job.
Yes.
Is that what inspired this podcast?
Yeah, so it's funny. So as you probably know, like projects, you're pitching them, you're thinking about them for years before like they actually end up live. And so this started in spring 2019. I was in Boulder, Colorado for a conference and I was out to dinner with my speaking agent who just happens to live in Boulder. And we were just talking like, what were some talks that I could give? Because we had been thinking like, oh, that like Me Too might be something that I could give talks around. But I was like, I don't really want to give the same talk that everybody is giving. And we somehow, I don't remember exactly what sparked it, but we were kind of mulling over things in that area. And I was like, you know, I'm really interested in apologies. And I'm really interested in the fact that people don't apologize well, that a lot of times like a simple apology could just dramatically fix things and people instead just like double down on denial. And obviously with Me Too, we saw a lot of like really bad apologies. And I was like, what if I taught people to apologize better? And so that was just in my head as like a general topic. And then that speaking agent ended up connecting me to somebody who will remain anonymous, who had given a bad apology. And he was like, oh, maybe you could speak to this person and like talk to them and kind of like help them figure out what they need to do. And so I was just like randomly talking to a friend of mine who is in podcasts. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to speak to Redacted. I think I'm going to like teach him how to apologize. And she was like, you know, teaching people how to apologize, that would be a really interesting podcast. And so from there, we just started crafting a pitch and it went through a bunch of different stages and evolved and got to the show that we have now, which is really focused on telling the story of 8 public apologies and 1 private apology and looking at, you know, the pitfalls, the successes. Like one of my favorites is that we found a YouTube apology that was actually good and successful. Like that is a unicorn, but we found one. And I think looking at how like an apology that you would expect to be stupid and bad and fail actually succeeded. And then looking at, you know, how all of these apologies where you're like, it should be so easy for you to do it right. And people just completely faceplant. And yeah. So that's where the show came from.
What was the YouTube apology? Like a YouTuber apologizing?
Yes. It was Gabriel Zamora, who is a beauty YouTuber. It took place in August 2018. It was for the YouTube fans, it was Dramageddon, which was very complicated beauty YouTuber drama that I don't really feel like going into all the details of. But basically, Gabriel made some stupid comments online and he pissed off Jeffree Star, who is a very, very big beauty YouTuber. And then Jeffree Star's fans were angry at Gabriel and they dug up dirt on Gabriel and his friends. And what's interesting about Gabriel's apology being good is that 2 of his friends who were also dragged into it, Manny MUA and Laura Lee, the apologies that they ended up giving are like routinely rated like worst apologies ever. Like Laura Lee fake cries in her apology and like it constantly makes the list of like, don't do this. Whereas Gabriel like had his apology. It went over well. He, not that this is a metric by which you measure apologies, but he gained like 300,000 followers. Like people, he won people over. And it's interesting. And so it's like, you look at that, it's like, what did Gabriel do that other YouTubers don't? I mean, number one, although it sounds counterintuitive, he kind of benefited from not having a PR team. Because when people have publicists, a lot of times the publicists are kind of taking you away from your own emotional core. Right. Not to get like too woo, but like they kind of are, because they're crafting a statement for you, or they're managing you, and they're creating something manufactured. One of the apology experts that we spoke to said like art shouldn't smell of a work of the workshop. And like when you have a publicist crafting your apology, you can smell the workshop. So Gabriel didn't have a publicist, and he was just getting slammed by all this hate. And as a result, you know, he had to really think like, okay, what am I going to say? How can I speak from the heart? Like he also is a person who cares about apologies, understands, you know, you have to be really sorry. And in his case, they had dug up a tweet that he had made years ago where he had used the N-word in a what he thought was an acceptable joking manner. When that happened, he was told it was wrong and he took it down, but people still found it. So in apologizing for that, like, that was something he had already learned his lesson. He wasn't defensive. He was like, I get it. And I have already learned why that's wrong. He had done all the processing already. So it wasn't like in the moment caught with his pants down, having to be like,
Well, what makes an apology so difficult? Like, why can we not seem, is it the ego that's involved in like, we don't want to be wrong?
I think that's a big part of it. I think there's it depends on the person, obviously. But I think the ego is a huge part of it, because we all feel this. Like, you get told you're wrong and you just feel like this gut punch and this defensiveness. And you have to go through the whole, like, does this make me a bad person? I don't want to be a bad person. And like, deal. And so some people just get stuck there where they're like, you're saying I did a bad thing. That would make me a bad person. And I'm not a bad person. Therefore, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. There's also, you know, in order to apologize well, you have to actually understand what you did wrong. And a lot of people don't want to take the time to figure that out, or aren't given the time to figure that out. Like, I think it's kind of messed up that a lot of times we're like, you did this bad thing and now you must immediately apologize, and we're not going to give you any time to process. Like, I don't know if you guys remember when like Ellie Kemper pictures surfaced of her at this ball and people were like, oh, it's affiliated with the KKK, which was not true. And she was silent for like 3 days and people were like, where's Ellie Kemper? What's she doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then finally, when she resurfaced, I mean, I'm not the injured community, so it's not really for me to say whether it was good or bad, but I thought the statement she released showed somebody who had been like, I took some time to process my emotions. I thought about this. I got past my defensiveness. I'm hearing what you say. And yeah, I think that I made XYZ mistake. And, you know, a lot of times we don't give people that time. And then we're like angry.
Right. And and you see people have to do a first apology and then a second apology later. Do you know what I mean? Because we are in this instant, and in Hollywood and in life, I would say just like, you know, our days are, when you're going through something, are painfully long. Like 3 days in Hollywood silence, or 3 days not talking to your friend that you pissed off, or your husband or your coworker. Like, these are endless days. It feels like you want to fix it up really quickly. And I love that advice, that it's like, you need to sit in it and just have a moment to really think about all the different areas. And I think one thing, I have to apologize a lot. So this is like really an area that I've gotten quite talented at. But I think something else that has helped me in my apologies is that I often will send the apology to someone, not a publicist, obviously, but like a friend or someone else that I think has like a moral compass that I maybe am lacking in sometimes, and be like, what do you think? And they'll often pick up a little nuance or something that I'm about to text or write that is going to just, it isn't needed. I think sometimes we overspeak in an apology because we want to explain and be like, well, here's why I did it, because, you know, I felt like that. Like, nobody cares about your feelings right now. Like, you just need to apologize a little bit, you know?
Well, yeah. And one of the other things just about Gabriel that I thought was fascinating was he had 2 apologies on Twitter that were poorly received. Like, one, he just did like a quick notes app one, then he did another text one. And then when he was recording his YouTube apology, like the one that actually went on YouTube, he recorded 3 different versions. And like the first 2 were like an hour and a half long or something. And he was like, this is just me venting. like, I cannot publish this, but I'm doing it for myself. And then the final one was still long. It was like 48 minutes because a lot of it is him just like revealing the behind the scenes gossip, and maybe like 15 minutes is him apologizing. But I thought it was so interesting that, you know, people also think like you're just going to have a perfect apology just emerge. And it's a process. It's not something that like, I mean, it depends on the size of the offense. If you step on somebody's foot, yes, you should be able to apologize immediately and kind of swiftly. But for these more like thorny emotional things, it takes time.
Okay. So what are some of the big mistakes that you have found in all this research and going through the regular and the celebrity parts of this podcast and researching? What are like a couple mistakes that you can give our listeners that they can like munch on and be like, ooh, I do that. That when you're doing an apology that you find are like common core.
I think the biggest mistake everybody makes is thinking that your intentions matter. Like right. If you hurt somebody, it doesn't matter if you didn't intend to hurt them. A lot of people are like, oh, I didn't mean, or this is what, and it's like, that doesn't matter. Stop thinking about yourself. Think about like you hurt that person. Like, and you know, if you accidentally hit somebody, it doesn't matter that you didn't see where they were, you still hurt them. That's like something to take accountability for. I think that's a really huge one. I think another one is people apologizing too quickly. I think it is really acceptable, or it should be more acceptable rather, to say like, I know that I hurt you. I need to take some time to understand what I did. I don't want to just knee-jerk apologize. Let me like take a little bit of time to process this and come back to you. But like, I know that I hurt you. And you have a right to be angry at me. Like, I feel like we should be able to say, like, at the beginning, like, this doesn't have to be okay. Let me take some time. You can still be angry at me, but let me figure this out. Also, just assuming that if you apologize well, you should automatically be forgiven, because you're not owed forgiveness. You're just not. Like, when we talk, one of the things that I think is so weird is when we talk about apologies, especially like celebrity apologies, we're always like, well, can they work again? Can we forgive them? Like, should we hate them? Should we like them? And we don't really talk about the people who were hurt. And for me, apologies are so much more about the people that were hurt and about like whether justice has been done, like what's being done to remedy the harm. I care so much more about that than like, is this person good or bad?
Well, this leads me to an excellent question. Okay. So apologizing when you know that someone has done something wrong, like that's A. But this leads me to, how do you apologize when you feel like deep in your core? I know you talked about intention, but like that you didn't do anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Like obligation apologizing.
I think that one is really, really hard. Because I think you often have to like look at the bigger picture, right? And it's like, you don't feel like you did anything wrong, but it's like, but what is the situation? Like, who is hurting? Why do people want you to apologize? Like sometimes,
right.
I think one of the things that's hardest, especially for celebrities, is sometimes the apology and the situation is not about you. Like it will be about like systemic racism. It will be about the fact that it is an unfair system and you happen to get caught up in an unfair system. And I think in those situations, we sometimes have to be like, okay, like, you know, like Ellie Kemper. Like, I don't think Ellie Kemper necessarily like is a bad person who went out and was like, I'm racist and I'm doing bad things. Ellie Kemper happened to be caught up in like having grown up in a culture where she was expected to do this debutante ball and maybe didn't understand the full implications of it when she was 18. And as an adult, people were like, this is really messed up. And it's messed up for reasons that are like far, far beyond you. And I think, you know, she, again, like from my perspective, she did a decent job of being like, I get it. I get that this is about something bigger than me and that you guys want me to apologize, not because of me, but because you want me to, you want me to indicate that I understand, like we live in an unfair world, that I have benefited in this way from an unfair world. So like for a lot of it, I think, you know, you got to take your ego out of it and look at like, okay, what is beyond like if I'm good or bad? Like, what is the situation that is causing people pain that I might be a symbol of? And like, how can I interact with that?
But here's where I get stuck, because I totally understand the intention. Like, I think that Like, I get it. If you hurt somebody, you hurt somebody. It doesn't matter what the intention. But I do get caught up in this whole thing where it's like, at a certain point, there is like a scale, a sliding scale of how bad the offense was. And if the intention was not ill, like it was not ill intended, I do think that we have to have more grace for people. I think that we really like put them in a category of you fucked up, you hurt people. And some people have done it intentionally, but others have not. And I think that that's like two very different categories of human.
And I think this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, I think we have to stop focusing on individuals in these questions. Yeah. And that's the hard part because like, again, it's like, we're like, is Louis C.K. good or bad now? And like, mm-hmm. who cares? Like, he should just not be given a platform. He abused it. And it's like, is Ellie Kemper, it's like the question of whether or not Ellie Kemper is a racist is not actually what matters. What matters is that we live in an unfair system. And I think like we have to stop. It's so much easier for us to grasp stories about individual people than it is to really think about like all the problems in our world that are very mm-hmm. complicated and feel overwhelming. And so we kind of want to make people into symbols of larger problems when we should be thinking about like, okay, how can we fix these larger problems and how can we encourage people to be a part of the solution?
I recently had to make an apology and I realized like that it was so daunting. The thought of it was so daunting because we're so obsessed with putting people in categories of good or bad. And so you get so hung up on like, I'm now in this category of get, I just need to get out. You're desperate to get out of that whatever thing. But then I sat with it and I was like, no, I'm just human. I have good days. I have bad days. I do good things. I do bad things. And if the only thing I can do right now is take accountability. So as soon as I was like accepting myself for all the flaws and all the fuck ups, it became so easy to just say, I totally fucked up and I made a bad choice in this moment.
Yeah.
And like, It seemed like the most simple way to approach an apology. And it took me 35 years to get there.
No, it's crazy. And I will say like the older I get, the more annoyed I am by people who don't have the self-awareness to be able to just apologize well. Like when we were 20s, you were like, oh, you're just shitty. And like, this was a half-ass apology, but like, I forgive you anyway. And now when like I see, you know, friends get into it or even like celebrities and stuff, when I'm like, you guys just like need to look at yourselves for a second. Cause I'm so deep in like looking at myself mode right now where I'm like, I'm so aware that I know like what's in my intestine and gut right now. Like it's too, I'm too aware, but it's like, you know, it's annoying. Like I've looked at friends and been like, I kind of lost respect for you because like, I feel like you're not on this planet with the rest of us, like growing and learning and like being able, I think being able to be self-aware and admit your own flaws is like such a strong character exercise, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I think one of the things that sucks is that most of us aren't taught to apologize well, right? It's like you're taught, most of us get told by adults when we're kids, like, say you're sorry. And we're not really told, like, can you think about what you did? Can you think about, like, how can we avoid this in the future? It's just this sort of like rote thing that you're forced to do. You often like are too young to even understand what you did. And it becomes this like punitive thing. And a lot of people never move beyond this idea of apology as this like punitive thing that you're being forced to do because people are mad at you. And they don't think about this larger picture about like, okay, have I hurt people? What can I do better in the future? Like we're not encouraged. Yeah. Society doesn't encourage us to do that work. And a lot of people just don't choose to.
For me, this time of year usually means getting into a busier schedule, and I'm going to have some special announcements coming out soon about things I'm working on. But when I'm swamped, as you know, I don't really think about lunch. I don't think about dinner, and I get really stressed out. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. My freezer's always stocked with delicious options that are ready in minutes. They have amazing harvest bowls, the flatbread I freaking love. The smoothies are amazing, and they're all built on organic fruits and vegetables right to your door. It takes minutes to prepare. It's super freaking easy. And by the way, the broccoli and cheese Harvest Bowl will take you to a special place. I'm telling you that. It's very comforting. And so when you're ready to get organized and eating healthy and back on a schedule, enjoy this time of year even more like I do with Daily Harvest. Go to dailyharvest.com/lady to get up to $40 off your first box. That's dailyharvest.com/lady for up to $40 off your first box. That's dailyharvest.com/lady. dailyharvest.com/lady.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Third Love. Third Love is one of our favorite sponsors. They've been with us since the beginning of Lady Gang, and so many of our ladies have switched over to Third Love. And Third Love believes that everybody is amazing and deserves to be treated that way. That's why they design underwear, loungewear, activewear, and feel good all day wear that hug better, hold stronger, and support longer. So you can feel comfortable all day long, no matter what your body faces. And with the softest sleepwear, luxe washable silk, and bras that you won't want to take off when you get home, the 90,000 five-star reviews don't lie. I've replaced most of my bras with Third Love and they are so comfortable, and I usually don't like a bra and I love Third Love bras so much. They're also available in exclusive half cup sizes and underwear, loungewear, activewear, and extra small through 3X. Feeling is believing. Upgrade to everyday pieces. Right now you can get 20% off your first order at thirdlove.com/ladygang. That's 20% off at thirdlove.com/ladygang. thirdlove.com/ladygang.
Running an e-commerce business like we do at Lady Gang is very, very difficult. And we're always sending something to someone, whether it's a care package or we're sending a prize for a giveaway out, or we're sending a thank you note to Chelsea Handler, who just came on the podcast. I mail things every single day. And that's why we love Stamps.com. For over 20 years, Stamps.com has helped over 1 million businesses save time and money on shipping. They have negotiated these amazing, deeply discounted rates for every postal service you'd already use, US Postal Service, UPS, DHL, and more. And basically, it automatically connects to our online store. I have this little account and it knows how to send things. I just put a little money in the account and then my stamps and my shipping labels print out on my home computer. It's so easy. So, start shipping and saving with Stamps.com today. There's no risk, and our promo code LADYGANG, it will get you a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital shipping scale. No long-term commitments or contracts, and you'll be up and running in just minutes. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in LADYGANG. That's Stamps.com, promo code LADYGANG. Stamps.com, easy e-commerce shipping for less.
Okay, ladies, can't remember the last time that you wanted sex? Oh, I'm sorry, you've got kids in the car? I know, we're gonna call it ice cream. Listen, ice cream, you scream, but maybe not for sex. I mean ice cream, sorry. So if your desire for ice cream feels, well, a little rocky road, you're not alone. Millions of women have felt their libido melting away because of a medical condition known as hypoactive sexual desire disorder, or HSDD. But unlike brain freeze, HSDD can be treated. Maybe it's time to change the flavor of the day from not in the mood to libido renewed. So whether you're into plain vanilla or the queen of whipped cream down to cone, or deciding between big or little spoon, it's time to scream for ice cream again. Visit screamforicecreamagain.com to learn more. That's screamforicecreamagain.com.
This episode of Lady Gang is brought to you by Daily Harvest. Go to dailyharvest.com/lady to get up to $40 off your first box. dailyharvest.com/lady.
The Lady Gang.
What do you think about, especially like women, like we're always apologizing all of the time for things that we shouldn't even be apologizing like, for just for existing. Like, what do you think about that, where we're always like overcompensating for things that maybe like society has kind of just like forced it down our throats to do?
I think it's interesting because I know like a few years ago there was this like women apologize too much, women apologize too much. And I don't think it's that women necessarily apologize too much. I think it's that we apologize for the wrong things. Mm. Like we're taught to treat apology as like you said, like to apologize for existing, to take up space. But like a lot of times when we actually make mistakes, we don't apologize well.
Yeah.
Like
we're human.
We're taught to just go to apology as like a way to smooth over a moment, but it becomes this like knee jerk response to a moment. But then it's like when it actually matters, we're sort of like, I don't know.
Right. It's so true.
It's so hard. And like, I guess one of the things that I'm I wanted to ask you about is the forgiveness aspect. Like, I love that we're talking about apologizing and like, okay, we've got this. Like, you got to just be self-aware. You just got to, you can't be like, I'm sorry if you felt hurt. Like, go fuck yourself. I felt hurt. Like, just say, I'm sorry. But then on the other side, like, is it possible to actually forgive someone once they apologize? Like, can you, do we have the ability to wipe our hands clean and be like, okay, I'm not going to hold this against you for the rest of your life?
I think so. Apologies are complicated. I think forgiveness is even more complicated. And I think it's really, really personal, because forgiveness means something different to different people. Like, some people are like, I'm going to forgive you, because for me, forgiveness is just letting go of anger and moving on with my life. Whereas other people hear forgiveness and are like, if I forgive you, that means what you did was not bad. Like, and you know, it means different things to different people. So that's already, it's complicated. But then, you know, I think society like pressures people to forgive. Like, I have a background in like working with assault survivors and abuse survivors and an abuse survivor myself. And you see, like, especially around Me Too, this idea of like, well, he said he's sorry, you should forgive him. And that, I think, is incredibly cruel to people who have suffered like really, really serious harm. Like, I think if a survivor or a victim feels that forgiving somebody is beneficial for them in their healing, then like, go for it. But you don't owe anybody anything. Like they should be apologizing to make you feel seen and to validate your hurt. And that doesn't require you to have any feelings towards them at all. I mean,
it's tricky.
Yeah. I like to forgive people when I can, but like, I don't think I have the right to tell anybody, oh, you should forgive so-and-so. I think that's a personal thing, but yeah, I think it so much comes down to like, what do you even define forgiveness as?
Let me ask you this, because this has happened a lot just in the Hollywood world. And I think sometimes in family dynamics as well, but we're digging up these things for people's past. So things keep coming to light every single week. Something new comes out about some celebrity, of something they did in 1999 or something they did in 2013 and something they maybe said or tweeted. And, you know, from my personal opinion, I like to think like the things that 2010 Kelty would say or 2000 Kelty would say are not her best, because we're trying to grow as humans and get better every single year. So I'm always a little cringy. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, feelings are feelings and people are upset about it. But like, when something gets dragged up from someone's past, and like a person they may not be now, and they have to live in it in a 2021 world when it might've been a 2000 world situation. Yeah. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean,
it's very complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Gabriel Zamora situation is an example of that, where it was like, I don't know, a 5-year-old tweet, like, that he had learned from immediately in the moment. And people were like, oh, you're a racist. You're this, you're that. I mean, I certainly, like, I remember things that I thought a decade or 20 years ago that I don't think now. And I think we're also often missing context too. Like, there are just like, I think about this a lot with like comedy that's not aging well. 20 years ago, there were things about like gay representation that felt groundbreaking that if you look now are like offensive. Mm-hmm. And yes. I think especially for young people who are often like the most driven in moral crusades, like for good reason, because they're waking up and they're like, everything is wrong, I want to fix it. I think they often lack like, okay, what was it like 20 years ago? What was acceptable? What were people being told? Like, you know, we had a lot of like intentionally offensive humor in the aughts. Like, if you weren't there at the time, it's hard to sometimes understand the context. So I think it's a problem when people strip context from old comments. And like you said, Becca, like, I think we should give people a little bit more grace. But it's also, I think, when somebody surfaces those, I think it is actually important to be like, okay, why did I think it was okay then? Like, have I learned? Do I understand? Like, you know, like, I think fat jokes are maybe less common now than they were 20 years ago. But that doesn't mean that making fat jokes was okay 20 years ago. So it's not like, oh, it was a different time, it was okay. It was, I didn't understand at the time why this was wrong. And I understand now. And like, that is something where I think we can still be like, I am a different person, but people have found this and it hurt them. And it made them think that I agree with something that I don't agree. And like, I think that's like, again, that's not an apology, like you're bad and you must fix it. That's like, I'm going to demonstrate that I understand that this situation is bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And I want people to know that, like, I get why they feel hurt and I don't necessarily take it personally. Like, apologies kind of have to sometimes be this gesture that's beyond just you and more about like, okay, how do we share our values? How do we talk about the kind of world we want to live in?
Well, that's something that has come up a lot with like these things that have come up from the past is like, instead of crucifying the person, it's like, if they make the acknowledgement, like you're saying, of like, I didn't know this was wrong at the time. Here's why I did it. Now I know. And like demonstrating how they know it's wrong. It's like, our goal should be for the greater good. And I understand sometimes these things come up so that we can teach everybody around us a lesson. And it's like, yes, this person should not be canceled forever, but this also needed to come up to make an example of, let's all learn that this is bad and let's put it on the world stage and let's do this. But like, let's not also make that person into the worst human being, the devil. Let's like cancel them forever.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you one more thing before we go about apologize.
Yes.
This is a situation that happened to me. We're writing our book, Lady Secrets. And this is actually one of the things that I'm writing about, a story that happened to me where I had a sort of frenemy and I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? I don't actually feel like I'm wrong here. Like, I don't think I did anything, but I'm just going to be the bigger person because I want this friction to go away. So I'm going to apologize. And I like got ready and I did my apology. I went in brave and I was like, here's all the things that I did wrong. And like, I want to apologize to you. And what I was expecting was, I'm also sorry. Like, me too. I'm sorry too. I also was a bad person. I also did this. But what I got was, you're absolutely right. Thank you for apologizing because you're a horrible piece of shit. And I want to know, because I think in the everyday girl that's listening to the Lady Gang, and our family dynamics and our friend dynamics, this is something that probably happens all the time where you go to make good and you're like, I'm not 100%. We're both a little guilty here. And then you don't get the fucking other. No one meets you halfway. What do we do then?
So this is also something I struggle with. One of the reasons why I was kind of drawn to this topic is because I have a history of being a compulsive apologizer. And like, I've had many situations where I'm often like, maybe it's a 50-50 situation, or sometimes it's like, I didn't even do anything wrong and the other person is the one who really should be apologizing. And I'll go in and be like, I try not to do this as much anymore, but
you
want to
like open the door to them to apologize to you.
Or you want to like model behavior where I would be like, I'm going to apologize to you. And then you will realize you should apologize to me. Mm-hmm. And like, the most memorable thing, like I had, he's not my friend anymore, but I had this friend who like, we would fight a lot. And finally I realized it wasn't worth it. But it was like, the last time I talked to him, like he ended up just saying like a bunch of really biphobic stuff and just like really like gross things. And I was really angry. And the next day I texted him and I'm like, hey, I recognized I did like XYZ that maybe upset you, but like you said this, and I'm sorry for that, but like you said all of this stuff that really I found offensive and it hurt me. And like, I think you should apologize to me, or said something like that. And then he was just like, I'm sorry that you're so easily triggered, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God,
and then I was
no.
like, I'm never talking to them. And then I just was like, okay. And I think, you know, it depends on the relationship. It depends on the person. In that situation, I was like, okay, this person is just showing me that they don't care about me and I'm going to walk away. Like sometimes you can't, with like a family, you maybe can't do that. It depends on like how... It depends on like, is this an aberration or is this just like how this person always is? And for me, you kind of have to evaluate. Like, number one, I think if you don't feel like you did anything wrong, maybe apologizing to get the other person to apologize is not the best strategy. Mm. And maybe it's better to be like, hey, I feel like you hurt me in this way. Like, if I hurt you, let me know. And I'm sorry, but like, you knew you did this stuff to hurt me. And I think I want you to know that. And if regardless, like if they can't take accountability, if they can't respond in a way that makes you feel heard and seen, like they might not be somebody who is beneficial for you. It might be somebody that like you need to wind down the relationship with.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the thing is if there's no ability to like take the accountability, you kind of got to walk away.
Yeah.
Like that's just not a human that you can, you know, if you're willing to do the work.
They're not there yet, Becca. And it's like, they might get there at some point, but they're not there yet. And they are not rising up to meet you. And it's like, okay, how long can you like, I remember when that happened to me, I was just like, all right, I did my thing. Yeah. And like,
and I think
that's not everyone needs to like you, which is like revolutionary.
Not everybody needs to like you, and you're not obligated to keep somebody in your life. I mean, these are like, I think these are especially like hard things for women because like, we know we're taught like be peacemakers, do this, but it's like, you have a right to be like, does this person treat me well? And do I want them in my life? And if they can't apologize when they've hurt me, they're probably not treating me well. And like, I need to think about like, what are they bringing to my life? And are they actually like somebody who is treating me the way I deserve to be treated?
Well, Lux, I need you to come back in another 6 months for a touch up. I hope that all the Lady Gang really listens to this and takes some notes, because I'm sure that you could be a better apologizer and you could accept apologies differently and better. And please head over to Audible and listen to How to Say Sorry.
Also, it's Say You're Sorry, not How to Say Sorry.
Say You're Sorry. Sorry. Her Instagram, if you want to follow her for all of her projects, there's like way more podcasts. There's way more, like she's doing 100 things right now. And Lux, thanks for being here. And we weren't here for a long time, but we were here for a sorry time. Thanks for listening. The Lady Gang is produced by Alex Ingberg, Steve Delameter, and Jared Monaco. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And if you love it, share it with your friends on social media. Like, oh my God, I just listened to Lady Gang. This episode's so great. Swipe up to listen. And if you really want to, which we know you do, please follow us on social at Kelty, at Becca, at Jack Vanek, and at The Lady Gang. Sign up for our newsletter at theladygang.com and join our secret Facebook group. It's super fun. See you next Tuesday.
Hi there. I'm Gabby Rapp.
And I'm Nina House. We are the hosts of a fantastic new show, Botany in Barrels.
If you've ever wanted to learn a bit more about wine but were intimidated by all the fanciness of it, we got you covered. As a former chef, I'll walk you through how to taste wine like a pro, so you can show up your pretentious coworker at the next company happy hour or impress your next date.
And if you were ever curious about why Napa is famous or why Italy is known for bomb wines, as a botanist, I'll walk you through the ins and outs of growing grapes.
To drink along with us, you can preview the bottles on our Insta or Twitter at Botany and Barrels. Come join us for a glass.
Episodes drop on Thursdays.
It's on Podcast One or wherever you get your podcasts.